Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's featured guest, Bill Murphy from La Metropole Cafe and Gada.org. Bill Murphy is at the helm of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, GATA, on behalf of all gold aficionados worldwide. At some point, these manipulators have to give up, don't you think?
Yeah, it's about as relentless as I can ever recall nowadays. That any kind of news that would normally be bullish, they constantly discard it. They stop all rallies, and then, of course, then they get the specs going with them on the short side, and it's all feeding on itself. At some point, yes, it's going to blow up, and violently so, but it will have to be either from some kind of event that we don't expect, or most importantly, when the physical markets say enough is enough on the downside, and it begins to seize up.
Maybe we were just spoiled. 12 years, unbroken rally, one of the most spectacular, advances certainly in modern history, if not financial history. After such a run, there has to be a pause. The greenback has been very strong for the past year now, and it really isn't showing many signs of giving up any of that momentum. We have a Eurozone slow-motion train wreck, and people are just turning to U.S. equities and maybe our currency, temporary safe haven.
Well, of course, it's a pretty big subject. I mean, look at the debt in our country. It's just completely out of control. It's a question of which currency is worse or least bad. And this is probably the reason, or most likely the main reason, that they're attacking gold so much, because they don't want gold to be the go-to currency of choice. And so they've been bombing it for a long time now, 4 years, more than four in silver. And, price action makes market commentary, and then it all begins to feed on itself. And they know exactly what they're doing and the kind of psychology they want to create. But when you go back to all the individual currencies and how they stack up, it's pretty horrifying that the dollar is the king at the moment.
Some of the economic numbers we heard last week, consumer sentiment is solid. It climbed to the highest level in 6 months as of June. People are okay with the threat of higher interest rates. That seems to be hanging over our favorite sector, hawkish Fed governors, and the potential for a couple of rate hikes. But don't you think, though, once that passes, it should be business as usual, and people will realize there's not much the Fed can do. If they allow rates to go much higher, this supposed recovery will just implode, won't it?
First of all, I don't understand why higher rates is bad for gold. First of all, lower rates have been the biggest negative you can imagine. Look at the last 4 years. What is zero interest rates in the United States meant for gold, except prices going south? So why should higher rates have anything to do with it? I mean, even in the late 70s, when interest rates were beginning to soar, for good grief, towards 20%, gold was on the march higher. It wasn't getting hit by it. So, again, this is the scuttlebutt that they put out there, and the rationale for gold, not going up because of potential higher rates. Well, then why don't they explain why the price of gold and silver have collapsed with rates at zero?
Because people maybe equate Dr. Paul Volcker, the former Fed chief at the time's efforts to stem the inflation, as everyone knows now, as he hiked up rates to around 20%, took the wind out of the sails. It took 5 or 6 years of higher rates to finish the gold market rally at the time.
The numbers you were just talking about here, we're talking about zero versus 20%. Now we're supposed to be freaking out if it goes up. They was going up that much a month.
Not to mention, we didn't have QE at the time. So this quantitative easing roughly headed towards $5 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet. The trend continues higher. And of course, as we all know by now, debt is a big positive for precious metals because it just puts the currency in worse shape. And it means there's more liabilities. They come down to the government that's printing those dollars. That's the onus of responsibility falls on its shoulders. So I'd like your thoughts on the Greek Grexit. I mean, clearly there is a lot of concern the tiny nation might leave the Eurozone and the implications of that on the global financial system, and particularly the Eurozone as a viable union, if you will.
All I know is it's endless talk, and it always seems to end up with kick the can kind of thing. something is arranged, it means nothing is done, really accomplished. But the concern, I think, is that the contagion effect, where if Greek pulls out and their defaults hold, you know, what could it lead to that's from there? And I think that's the scary issue, that things get out of control because something else happens that nobody's anticipating now. And I think that is what has people on edge in terms of the Greek situation. I mean, they said it's probably going to end up with another kick the can.
We watched Detroit implode, many other municipalities, you know, around the country and other areas. You know, the governor of Puerto Rico pointed out that they cannot pay their $70 or $80 billion in debt. Comparing it to a Greek exit scenario might be our Achilles heel. But, you know, I really think that that's narrowly focused. I mean, it's almost like people have visors on. If we're worried about any of these peripheral situations, national debt and the unfunded liabilities.
Well, I mean, that's the key point. Right now, I mean, absolutely nothing seems to matter. Doesn't matter whether it's Greece or Puerto Rico or, you know, even today in the jobs report, with the participation numbers going back to as bad as they were in 1977, doesn't matter what comes out, our markets seem to be held up, and nothing, no matter what fundamental news there it turns shows up for gold, it's not allowed to stand. So to answer your question, nothing seems to matter. I mean, no bullish thing matters whatever, and one day, all of a sudden, this is all going to change, and will happen out of nowhere, in which it's too big for the plunge protection team and counterparty risk management group and gold cartel to hold things together. Right now, they've done it effectively. And then, but when the day comes, it's liable to be extremely dramatic.
Another interesting topic, this talk about China could soon back its currency with the yellow metal. For the longest time, it seemed just like another rumor, but there's actually serious talk from their officials. One media source is claiming that it would require up to 10,000 tons of the metal to back their currency. And so it would be just an enormous number, and it would certainly have to be done under the cover of night, under the table. And we do know that China does not disclose its official figures very regularly, something like every 5 years or so.
Good grief, we haven't had an audit in 60 years. We don't know what gold we even have ourselves. It's nothing ironclad. I mean, who knows what the Chinese already have in terms of their tonnage? I'm sure it's far, far higher than they've disclosed. I mean, almost everybody acknowledges that. What it will mean, it will depend how it's laid out and, you know, what's behind it and what's going on at the time. But clearly the Chinese are moving, having gold be more supportive of where they're going economically. We know that from all the demand numbers, which have been off the charts. And eventually, when they want to speak up in terms of what they've done in gold and they feel it's in their interest, they'll do so. In the meantime, they're as mysterious as we are. But again, as I say, nobody is, who knows what the United States has? I mean, and how much gold is there supposedly backing our dollar?
I think another interesting facet that stems from this line of reasoning, I think it's safe to infer when we start to see municipalities, states, countries repatriating their gold. We first saw Venezuela with Hugo Chavez before he passed away. That was one of his last contributions to his people. The Netherlands, Switzerland. You don't hear people even address the idea that maybe their officials have more to think about than just the safety.
I agree with you. And quietly, a lot of concerns about what's going on that isn't really allowed to be talked about in public discussion. It's what God has been up against all these years of my colleague Chris Powell, you know, having collected all this evidence and presenting it to newspapers and to different people and journalists like you're talking about for issues of discussion. They won't even discuss it. This is what is so disturbing. There's no free press when it comes to this issue, and it's such a big deal. It's such a big topic, and eventually it's going to be in the limelight, and by then all chaos will have broken out. So we just have to fight the good fight now to try to get this stuff out there, but it's a tough go.
I think it's a real red flag when our officials, they no longer trust one another. It's one thing for the people to be suspicious of their government, okay? But it's, I think, quite another when European nations, South American nations, Asian nations saying, you know, we don't trust the currency. There's a lot of talk with China backing its currency. Well, what if these other nations are preparing for a moment where they may have to support their country with something else? And we've already touched on that. I just hope this dialogue starts to become more mainstream, as you say. You know, hat tip certainly to Dr. Ron Paul. He's been at least indirectly discussing it for decades, you know, and has sounded the alarm for all Americans. In fact, he issued, I thought, a really interesting warning recently. Most retirees just aren't prepared for what's headed this way. Bill Murphy, any other topicality we've missed that you'd like to share with the listeners?
No, I just think this is a quiet before the storm, and right now the open interest is going way up, and silver's at an all-time high, gold is soaring, and everyone's piling in on the short side here, and they're winning. And at some point, this whole thing will blow up. All we can do is hold the fort at the moment and wait for the physical markets to seize up, and then it'll be a whole new ball game. But hopefully we're on the getting near the end stages of this 4-year bear market onslaught. And as I say, when it changes, it is likely to be extremely violent. And so that's why we stay in the game here.
What we're looking for here, Bill, you know, to get past September and December, we're expecting a small rate hike, maybe bump up to 0.5% by December of this year. It's going to be, we think, 2 and done. And that's likely it. They will give the impression of hawkish stance, which should give them just enough wiggle room and firepower to open up the next big QE salvo. Tell folks more about La Metropole Cafe as well as Gatta.org, please.
Well, as far as Gatta is concerned, Chris Powell does a great job, and you can sign up for the Gatta mailing list. And as for myself, I've been in business since September of 1998, right at the bottom, and people can sign up for a 2-week free trial at www.lametropolecafe.com and see if it's of interest. Thanks again for having me, Chris, and have a great 4th of July weekend.
Thank you, sir. Have a great 4th. Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.